Scrolling. This is our Oscars 2020 conversation. I'm Steve Fodor, and with me I have all sorts of movie experts who are gonna tell me about movies that I haven't seen. Chip's here. How's
I'm
going?
Contestant flow.
You're on the phone somewhere in Indiana. Is that where you're at?
I am in Indiana. I'm a Hoosier today, Steve.
I think it's pronounced Hoosier. I think you're in Canada. Kyle Hickman is joining us this week. He is our film expert. He's an avid movie fan who loves to attend the local theater. He writes about a number of topics on his blog, kyleahickman.blogspot.com. In fact, he posted his best films of 2019 already. Spoilers. Check it out when you get a chance. You can follow him on Twitter at Kyle_A_Hickman. For daily movie reviews and other movie commentary. He'll also be launching his own podcast real soon. You can find the link to his work in our show notes. How's it going, Kyle?
Going really well, gentlemen. I am also a Hoosier, and now I have Hoser take me to church stuck in my head. Thank you.
Nice.
Take me to church.
Along with Kyle, we have Dane Michael. Dane is the producer and co-host of the CF3, Cult Fans, Films, and Finds podcast. This is a weekly cult film podcast that asks celebrity guests and cult fans to help them find and review their movie of the week. The guests on the podcast have been amazing so far. They had Dee Wallace, Sam Jones, yes, Flash Gordon, Sam Jones, Andy Dick, Ming Chen, Gilbert Gottfried, Space Ghost himself, George Lowe, oh, and some guy named Kyle, and some other guy named Steve. We were both on the show at one point. Dane is also a self-described Oscarologist who's been fervently tracking all the Oscars for the last 15 years. How's it going, Dane?
Great. It's actually like 16 years, but 15 sounds more believable, right?
you gotta live on the fives and the zeros. No worries.
Yes.
That's it. CF3 is going really well. Your guest list is pretty amazing. I can't wait for Kyle to start his podcast. This is now an annual tradition. Last year at this time, Dane, you pre-announced that mm-hmm. you were starting a podcast and it had no name. Now we've got Kyle's podcast coming up for 2020.
And still no name.
And still
we have
no
a
name.
We have a name. We're just not telling the world yet. You'll find
Wheel
out.
Wheel of Fish.
So next year it's my turn to start a second podcast.
Or mine. Or Chip's.
There you go.
Who knows? The world is out there.
There's a title. Is that already taken by X-Files? The world is out there?
It's the next James Bond film, guaranteed.
Yeah, the world exists.
So other than podcasting, we are here to talk about movies, good movies, the Oscar-nominated films for the year 2019. The awards are coming up on February 9th. You can watch them live on ABC. And there's some...
Is this also called the Steve Fodor, maybe I'll see these type of films?
All right, so we should do the embarrassing questions first, Chip. Is that what you're suggesting?
Exactly.
Kyle, tell me, of the 9 Best Picture nominees, how many of these films have you seen?
I have seen all of them, all 9. I'm right online.
Dane, of the 9 Best Picture films, how many have you seen?
Okay, so I've seen 7 of them, but I have a screener for the other, and I'm going to watch the other one this week because it just came. It comes out for rent, I think, tomorrow, Tuesday the 21st. So that's Parasite. Right. So I will have seen them all well before the show.
Chip, of these 9 films, how many have you seen?
7, Steve. 7. I just want to point that out. 7. I'm trying my best to catch up to Kyle. I may not make it.
As the world probably knows already, because I've already shared this information, I have seen 0 of these films. I have not seen a single one of these movies in 2019. There's a really good chance that I may never see any of these movies.
Steve was too busy.
Well, too bad, Steve.
Well, Aladdin came out in 2019, right?
It did.
Right?
It was robbed. It was robbed.
And officially, we review a movie every week, Steve.
Yes. And officially, you watch most of them. I do have a list. I have seen 23 movies in 2019. I've seen 23 movies. None of them are in the best picture category. I don't like really good movies is what it comes down to. I like independent, really weird films. That's just who I am. That's never going to change.
Well, Steve, we can always count on you to watch like every comic book movie, basically. So yes. How come you haven't seen Joker, and why don't you want to see it?
I don't count Joker as a comic book movie. I think that this movie could have existed without the word Joker in it. I think that it's not about Batman. This is about mental health.
That is true. And not only is that true, the director has said that he wanted to tell this story, and he used the Joker as a way to get a larger audience.
Now, I will say, because I agree with you all, but I will say the fact that it made over $1 billion in the box office had a lot to do with the fact it's connected to the DC universe, even though it is separate. If it was just Clown Guy, that's the title, it wouldn't have made nearly as much
money. That would lose money. You're talking about a movie that loses money.
The Fanatic would be better than Clown Guy. That's a really low bar.
Then we got John Travolta as actor of the year with that, I'm sure.
He got nominated somewhere. I don't remember where it was, but somebody nominated
the Razzies. I put him on my list.
Yeah. Where should we start? Should we name our favorite of these Best Picture nominees, Chip?
Well, let's go ahead and name when the Oscars will air. So it looks like the Oscars will air on Sunday, February 9th at 8 p.m. on ABC. And that's Eastern Standard Time for all of the Central Standard people. And so we should probably just start from there. All right, we're going to Best Picture, Steve.
So, Chip, do you have a choice of these 9 Best Pictures? Should we name them first?
Sure, we should probably name them.
All right, the Best Picture nominees are Ford versus Ferrari, The Irishman, Jojo Rabbit, Joker, Little Women, Marriage Story, 1917, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, and Parasite. Chip Hessenflow, what is your nomination for the Best Picture of 2019?
For 2019, I'm going to say 1917. Sam Mendes.
Why does 1917 hold a special place in your heart for this year's Best Picture?
It's an epic, big-budget film that has a unique strategy on how to present the material. Basically, it's a single shot, or at least it looks like a single shot. And you're basically going on an adventure. And so this is a true-ish story. This is based on Sam Mendes's conversations with his grandfather about World War I. And it really is a special epic type of story. There is something very grand about it. I do think that it could hold on, and you know, years from now, we may be able to watch this and still enjoy it on the same level.
Kyle Hickman, what is your nomination for the Best Picture of 2019?
So you want to know what my personal favorite is, or what I think it's going to win?
Tell me your personal favorite first.
So my personal favorite is Parasite. I think from top to bottom, production design, acting, all the actors were snubbed for some really, really good work. I think it's the best piece of work. Bong Joon-ho has done some really good work in the past, so it's not surprising. Do I think it'll win? Maybe. But I'm sure we'll get into that. Dane is more the expert on that side, and I'm sure he has lots and lots of data to provide us in terms of where we sit today.
The Oscarologist gets to go last. Dane, what is your thinking? What is your personal favorite for Best Picture?
Well, I got to change it up from these two guys. And I haven't seen Parasite, so that one could wind up cracking the top. But I will be seeing it this week. But of the ones I've seen, and I'm disqualifying Little Women. I just know it's not going to be my number one. My wife loves Little Women, and she preferred the 1994 one. So I'm not even going to consider that. Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, Quentin Tarantino. Kyle's shaking his head. He had it in a second tier of films.
No, I was shaking my head at the disrespect of Greta Gerwig. Just utter.
I'm not disrespecting Greta Gerwig. We'll get into that too. Women directors, I'm sure. Dude, this is Quentin Tarantino. This is not like a top three film for him, but sometimes it's just time. Like Martin Scorsese won best picture and best director finally for The Departed, which is not top three, four, five Scorsese even. But Once Upon a Time in Hollywood delivers on all fronts that I wanted it to. It loves its subject, which is vintage Hollywood. And I just love that Quentin Tarantino gets all of these like perfect details. Like the production design is amazing in this film. And I hope that wins the Oscar. And then I love that at the same time, all of the huge facts of history, like what happened to the Manson family and so on and so forth. He just butchers that and says, to hell with you, historians. I'm getting all of these, all of the minutia correct, and I'm going to just fly in the face of what actually happened and laugh along the way.
Spoilers! They've had enough time to see it.
Oh, this has been out for months and months.
Months!
Yeah, I'll go out and see it.
You should!
So, Steve, let's go ahead and set Steve up. Steve! Best film of the year. Come on, Best Picture, Steve.
My guess is Once Upon a Time in Hollywood will win Best Picture this year because Hollywood loves movies about Hollywood. And that is, in my opinion, going to be the leading factor here. I don't like Quentin Tarantino films. I do not like the way he puts together a story. I don't like any of his little quirky ways. If I were to take that one out of the running, I would say 1917 is the one that's getting the most buzz. I have heard so many people saying how 1917 is such an amazing story. The characters are strong. And yes, that cinematography piece where it looks like it's a single shot from the beginning of the film to the end, that's magical, but that's not Best Picture stuff. That's cinematography award stuff.
The beautiful part about what the three of us just did is I think we highlighted the three leading films for Best Picture unintentionally, but, and Dane can chime in on this one if he thinks I'm wrong, but based on how the award season is going, it's going to be one of those three films that wins Best Picture most likely.
And what surprises me is that The Irishman is not the leading contender, because that seems to be one of those epic films that everybody was talking about until 1917 came out.
Here's the thing about The Irishman. When I watched it over the course of two nights. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of voters probably did the same thing. I mean, obviously it has enough passion to get nominated in 10 categories, but I think people are just thinking of it as, well, by the way, this is like one of three major films that Netflix threw out there for the Oscars. So one, they're competing against themselves. Mm-hmm. And two, they only basically just made it available for home viewing. So it doesn't have the cinematic feel. It just feels more like a miniseries. And HBO has been making great ones, you know, so.
Well, they did present it. You could go to the theater to see it. My father went to the theater and watched The Irishman.
Yeah, it had to have a limited run to be eligible.
Right. God bless his bladder, your father's bladder.
Well, it all depends.
Oh boy.
That's what I would have needed to go to the theater to watch that.
I think Ricky Gervais put it best at the Golden Globes when he made the joke about we're going to show a preview from The Irishman and it's 88 minutes long. You know, for a lot of people, it's just, I think it's a phenomenal film. It's in my top 10 for, you know, top six or whatever it is. But it's a long movie, and there's nuances that make it really good. I mean, the payoff in the final scene is fantastic if you can stick through the entire film. But you know, it's sure. a three hour plus film. That's a lot of, they don't really do many of those anymore, except for the next James Bond film, except for Dune, you know, all these other films.
Let's touch on the other films, because the other films are good too. I mean, it wasn't like, the three films that we were talking about initially, the other ones are certainly excellent. I certainly enjoyed Ford versus Ferrari.
Yes, that was phenomenal.
Yeah, okay. Is that cinematography really again, or is that a film that is a story that is intriguing.
Good story, good acting, great editing. There's good cinematography. There are great technical elements, but the story itself stands alone. It's not just a big budget blockbuster.
And I think sure. The editing of those racing sequences really makes it, because I have no interest in racing whatsoever, but I really loved watching it. And Christian Bale is just hits a home run in his performance.
Absolutely. I agree.
Baseball.
Chip and I have a mutual contact amongst our fraternity membership, and he was at Le Mans. He was at that race, and he said the movie is better than the race.
Okay. Nice.
So. It's like watching football. It's way more interesting to watch it at home than at the stadium. Okay, so what about the Joker? Is there any chance for the Joker to win Best Picture in this category this year?
No. It's too divisive. It's too divisive.
Joaquin will probably, we'll talk about the next category next, but Joaquin's going to probably get the love, but I don't think Joker's going to win.
Yeah. So it led the nominations with 11, but that's not, back through the history and nominations leader does not equate to Best Picture that often, maybe like 40, 50% of the time. But so there's enough people that put it number one. Yeah.
So if it wins, Steve, Twitter is going to lose its mind.
Okay.
The internet will explode if Joker wins Best Picture.
Okay. How about Jojo Rabbit? That is a strange one to stick into the Best Picture category, isn't it?
Nah. Well, we all have imaginary friends, Steve.
I would put it like fourth, probably, just because Taika Waititi is like on fire right now.
Uh-huh.
Yes. I love Taika.
Absolutely.
But this wasn't one of my favorites of his projects. Like Hunt for the Wilder People, I loved. I love Thor Ragnarok. I love some of the work he's done. But for me, this is
Mandalorian. That final episode of The Mandalorian, when his name came up in the credits and the internet went, thank you. That was fun.
You know what this feels like to me? Jojo Rabbit feels like a minor film on Wes Anderson's resume. Maybe like middle Wes Anderson.
Okay.
And then if it won, I'd be like, how come Wes Anderson's never gotten the Best Picture win then if this did?
Yep.
Quirky enough.
Well, that's my challenge with Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, because I liked Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, and I know you loved it, Dane, but I would say it's his like seventh best film. I struggle in a year like this where we've had really good films where it would win Best Picture. But I know it's kind of a niche film, and it's the right niche.
Yeah. Well, the actors control that movie, and there's so many heavy hitter actors, and that's the biggest branch of the Academy for voting. And so that's the only thing that gives me pause to say Once Upon a Time in Hollywood still can win, is because the actors, because 1917 and The Parasite don't have a single acting nomination among them. Hmm. And that is usually not the route to Best Picture, but this stats are broken every year, and that could be the one that falls. So.
Wow. Little Women has gotten some really great acclaim. The critics love it. The audiences are really interested in this story. When we first talked about Little Women on Too Much Scrolling, we thought, really? Another version of Little Women? Aren't there other better stories to tell? But apparently, they made this story interesting enough by doing a little bit of meta in it, right?
So I really liked Little Women. It's right on the cusp of my top 10 in the popular film side. Greta Gerwig, I think, does – I know enough about the 1994 version to know that she's done a good refresh. The most controversial element of the film is its editing, because of the way it flashes back constantly between the timeline. She uses colors to help you understand when it jumps, but because we're talking about actors who – they're using the same actor, Saoirse Ronan, Florence Pugh, right? And they've done a good job to make Florence Pugh seem younger in certain scenes. But it's not enough of a jump to where it's very clear that they're in two different timelines and time frames. So that's the biggest challenge. I get why they did it, why Greta did it, because she wants it to be unique from the 1994 version. But at the same time, it's sometimes hard to follow. But the film itself is really good, and I think the way it lands, it's not my type of film, right? It's not marketed towards me necessarily and what I usually enjoy in film, but Greta Gerwig has done really good work, and so the film itself, I think it stands, it is deserving of a nomination, I'll say that from my end.
So the last one on the list that we haven't talked about at all is Marriage Story. Why is that one on the Best Picture list?
Ooh, that's Greta Gerwig's husband, Noah Baumbach, who wrote and directed that one. So that is another Netflix movie. So that's direct competition with Irishman. But it's on there because it's just a brilliant story about how, I mean, it starts right at the end of a marriage, and then it's all about a custody battle. And the lawyers, Laura Dern is great in it as a scummy lawyer. She's going to win an Oscar for it.
Really?
I mean, yeah, she is.
Because Chip doesn't like Laura Dern.
Really?
Yes.
Jurassic Park, Chip, or what? What don't you like?
What's up, man? Yeah.
We'll talk about that another day. My question is this Ben Solo or is it Kylo Ren? Which one is showing up here?
It's the performance of the year, in my opinion. I thought it was better than Joaquin Phoenix. If I had a vote, I would vote for Adam Driver for Best Actor because he just rips your guts out with his performance.
It's a devastating emotional story. It's crazy.
And just so you know, I purposely avoided this movie, not because I didn't know it was a good film. I just, I just was not ready to go through that type of emotion.
And I agree with you. I also am not prepared for a conversation, a raw conversation about relationships like this.
It's good art if people are afraid of it.
He much prefers Time Chasers.
Yes, I mean, sir.
Yeah, Marriage Story's got 3 major acting nominations. So, and a lot of people have said Alan Alda potentially deserved it for Best Supporting Actor, which would have been wild.
Yeah, he was good.
So for a movie that we're talking about on this level, how is it not the movie that could win Movie of the Year?
It just hasn't gotten the steam in the rest of the award season to this point, I think.
Is that because of the Netflix factor?
You can only have one custody battle film in the history of film win Best Picture, and that already happened in 1979.
Kramer. The Kramer v. Kramer. Sure. Kramer and Kramer.
Yep. Ford v. Kramer.
Yes.
Jerry! Let me explain. I was making bagels on Festivus. No, not that Kramer versus Kramer. I got a courtesy laugh on that. That's fine.
You did.
That's fine. So, okay, let's move on to Best Actor. We've looked at a couple of these actors already in our conversation. The nominees are Antonio Banderas in Pain and Glory, Leonardo DiCaprio in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, Adam Driver in Marriage Story, Joaquin Phoenix in Joker, and Jonathan Pryce in The Two Popes. Chip, who is your go-to best actor on this?
I'm going to go with Leonardo DiCaprio.
Really?
Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. Yeah, because I really did enjoy this film. And if Joaquin Phoenix wins this, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised. But I think that, if Tarantino takes home Best Picture, there's a good chance that Leonardo would take home Best Actor.
Kyle, what do you think?
I think Adam Driver deserves it. I think Joaquin will win it, but don't sleep on Antonio Banderas in Pain and Glory. I think it's some of his best work that he's done in a long time.
Really? That surprises me. How about you, Dane? What do you think?
Oh, I think Joaquin Phoenix is going to win it running away. But like Kyle, we're both in agreement, Adam Driver. I mean, but Adam's so young, he's got time to keep racking up the nominations and wins. So
And I wrote about this in my blog post too. It's a huge year for Adam Driver. I mean, he's done 4 major motion pictures in this past year that are all pretty popular, right? He did Marriage Story, he did Star Wars Rise of Skywalker, he did The Dead Don't Die, and he did The Report. So it's kind of his year. It may not be the awards year, but in terms of average performances, it's very good.
That's an amazing group of pictures that he was able to have released all in the same year, too. That's amazing.
Pretty big range for an actor to go through all those different types of characters.
And I mean, speaking of that, if we could turn our attention to Best Actress, Scarlett Johansson had the equivalent resume to Adam Driver, and they both happened to carry Marriage Story, and I think ScarJo deserves Best Actress for the same movie.
We've got a list of Best Actress nominees here. Cynthia Erivo in Harriet, Scarlett Johansson in Marriage Story, Saoirse Ronan in Little Women, Charlize Theron in Bombshell, and Renee Zellweger in Judy. And so we already have one vote for Scarlett Johansson. What do you think, Chip?
Well, this is tough for me because I saw Renee Zellweger in Judy, and I saw Charlize Theron in Bombshell, and I saw Cynthia in Harriet. I didn't see the other ones, and it's based on our conversation so far. That puts me at a real disadvantage. Yeah, I mean, it's based on the conversation. It looks like Scarlett Johansson has a good chance of winning this.
I think that it's her year, like the boys have mentioned here. She has been all over the cinema doing all sorts of different characters. I haven't watched this show, but I think that it might be the right choice.
I would agree that she's probably the front runner for Best Actress here. I really thought Saoirse did a fantastic job in Little Women. I think Renee is going to win, but
really.
Yeah. Renee has won all of the precursor awards so far, including the Screen Actors Guild and the Golden Globe. She's given very surreal, almost, speeches that make me cringe most of the time.
Oh, it's hard to watch, man. I can't do it.
But she had you at hello.
It's like she never stopped acting like Judy Garland. It's just...
What's fascinating about it is I did see Judy, and while I did think this was a nice movie, it certainly was a very pandering movie that was like, we're ready for nominations on this. This movie was not put in as one of the best movies of the year. So, I mean, it's really interesting that she would even be considered. While she did a fine job, I don't think it was career defining or anything of that nature. But here we are. We're looking at her for Best Actress.
You subscribe to the Once Upon a Time in Hollywood model, right? It's about Hollywood. It's about Judy Garland, one of the biggest names ever in acting. So that alone catches the people's attention.
It's kind of a comeback story for Renee as well. But she already has an Oscar, and it just makes me mad that she has been winning everything, because Scarlett Johansson, Endgame, Jojo Rabbit, Marriage Story, she's double nominated. Just throw her some love in the lead. I know being double nominated doesn't help the cause at all, because some people are going to vote for her in one category and not the other. But so right. I think Judy's safe, but.
So let me clarify. Scarlett Johansson was nominated for Marriage Story, and Scarlett Johansson was nominated for Jojo Rabbit?
Correct.
Yes.
Well, I'll say the same thing. Jojo Rabbit certainly was a nice film, and she did a wonderful job in it. But I don't see how that is a Best Actress type of performance.
Supporting.
It's supporting.
Supporting. I'm sorry. Supporting. Okay.
It's like, all right, that's all right then. shouldn't care that much.
Should we
it's
look
like,
at the rest?
Good for you.
Good for you. thanks a lot, Mr. Mr. Alpha and Miss Women.
Take all that back. She's deserving.
Should we go through the actress in a supporting role to straighten this out? The nominees are Kathy Bates in the Richard Jewell movie, Laura Dern in Marriage Story, Scarlett Johansson in Jojo Rabbit, Florence Pugh in Little Women, and Margot Robbie in Bombshell. Dane, we'll go to you first. What do you think?
Supporting actress. Well, I've already told you I believe Laura Dern has it in the bag. She's won all of the precursors, and this is one of the most thoroughly uninteresting Oscars in recent memory for acting, unless there's a major upset on Oscar night, which could be like Glenn Close level upset from last year. So
with Olivia Colman drunk going, oh
yeah, I felt so bad about that. I still feel bad about it. I feel for Glenn Close, but
I want Olivia Colman to win all the awards.
I love
hammer drunk at all of the things, and she is not prepared to speak when she
I wins. Know you guys are not Doctor Who fans, but when she was in the Five-ish Doctors reboot and she said, I'm in all the movies, and I just fell in love with her. And yes, I would give her all of the awards. Kyle, what do you think for actress in a supporting role?
I mean, this is Laura Dern's award to lose. I think Kathy Bates might have a shot from Richard Jewell, just because, I mean, she's established. She's an establishment actress, and she does a pretty good job in that film, but the rest of the I mean, I love Florence and Margot, but they don't really have a chance.
Okay. Chip, what do you think?
I'm going Margot.
Okay.
Somebody has to pick her. You go there.
She had a pretty good year.
Bombshell was a good film, and she played a good supporting role there. I have not seen Laura Dern in Marriage Story, so that puts me at a disadvantage. If you tell me that that's the person who's going to win, I have nothing to defend that.
Are we allowed to talk about snubs right now, or are we waiting on that?
Go ahead. What's your snubs?
So I think a big snub here is J-Lo for Hustlers.
Really?
I think it would have made it interesting if Jennifer Lopez was in this. And potentially Xu Zhen Zhao from The Farewell, I think would have been. Mm-hmm. That would just been a really cool moment to have her get nominated. I don't think she would have won, but maybe it's not the Academy, but J-Lo from Hustlers, I think, would at least gave it a run if she would have been nominated. But
And if we're getting to our snubs, Awkwafina from The Farewell for Best Actress is certainly a snub as well.
Yeah. Agreed.
Chip is still concerned about her back and her posture.
She won a Globe, right?
Yeah, she won a Golden Globe, so.
That's good. Good for her. She's got a lot going for her. She is very funny. She's very entertaining. She is a great actor. I see a future for Awkwafina for sure.
She's got a comedy coming to Comedy Central.
There you go.
As well. I just saw the commercial for it yesterday. And it is not like The Farewell. That's what I'll put.
Okay. Is she good at music? I'm not a good judge of music. Is she good at music?
I don't know much about her back. I know okay. She's a rapper, but I don't know her.
She stays very hydrated, is my understanding.
She just needs to stand up straight.
Sponsored by Pepsi.
Let's go to the Best Director category. The nominees are Martin Scorsese for The Irishman, Todd Phillips for Joker, Sam Mendes for 1917, Quentin Tarantino for Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, and Bong Joon-ho for Parasite. Congratulations to those men.
I died when she did that.
Did you watch the nominations where Issa Rae said, congratulations to those men?
My visceral reaction was, oh!
Yeah, she went there. No women in this category again this year.
Who would she have put in the place of one of them? That's my only question. Because it's probably another man for the next three films. Maybe two. Greta Gerwig, I'm sorry. It sounds like she made a film that was not edited well enough. And that that falls on the director.
Right.
I think it's a creative choice that some people love and some people don't. That's
probably the best. I would say Olivia Wilde in Booksmart, that was a well-directed, fun, interesting story. I would have put her in there. Lulu Wang from The Farewell is certainly, again, really well-told story. And then there's Marielle Heller from A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood. Those are some films that are overlooked in this category.
Well, Booksmart was kind of ignored.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it was. Comedy. It's hard to, a coming-of-age comedy. It's hard to get any traction in the Academy with a coming-of-age comedy.
Okay. How about A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood? That had all the Oscar buzz going into it.
Well, Tom Hanks,
what they did with the film. I think it was the fact that Tom Hanks and Mr. Rogers was not the focal point. He was the supporting actor, and it was about Matthew Reese's struggle. I think that was a really good take with the documentary that came out the year before, but
I can't get upset with a directing snub or perceived snub for Heller for that, because personally what was it called Can You Ever Forgive Me, that was her previous film, and that was like my second or third favorite of the year, and I thought she was snubbed for that. Mm-hmm. Big time. That was a great movie. Some of the actors got nominations.
Richard Jenkins, well-deserving of his acclaim.
So the Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood didn't resonate with me quite as much. It's just outside it's probably in my top 15 and will finish in top 20. But that's not top five director-driven work.
Okay. So where do you go for Best Director? Which one of these men are the winner for Best Director this year?
I would say it's probably going to be Sam Mendes. I would vote Bong Joon-ho for Parasite. And if I had to bring in a female director, I would do Lulu Wang with The Farewell. That would be my overview.
What do you think, Dane?
Mendes and Ho, those are your two that are vying for it. And I think that the winner of the Directors Guild, which comes up in a few days from our recording date here. I think it'll come up like this weekend. I think the winner of that's going to go on to win Best Director. And my hunch is Sam Mendes for this being a visionary work. It truly is a director's piece, mm-hmm. very much like The Revenant meets Saving Private Ryan. And both those won Best Director, even though they didn't win Best Picture.
Mm-hmm.
So we could have like a Parasite and 1917 director picture split. And I wouldn't even have to necessarily have to predict which one wins which. But I think a split is possibly on the table.
You don't think it's Tarantino's award to lose?
I mean, when people say, like Kyle say that it's a seventh best movie, how do you give it to him?
Right. So. And I'm going to be a contrarian here. I'm going to say it's going to be Martin Scorsese. For The Irishman.
Maybe.
And my thought is, and not that these guys don't have name recognition, but you have to recognize we're also dealing with people voting, and there may be someone who says, well, The Irishman was a long film. But Scorsese is a great director, and may just go with it.
He gets the TLDR award. Is that what you're saying? That the movie was so long, it must be good.
The super long Netflix award that Cuaron won last year for Roma.
Right.
He convinced Joe Pesci to come back.
Yeah.
Of course. And got Al Pacino.
Dane, is there any data that suggests that it might have a chance?
That what would have a chance?
The Irishman.
Martin Scorsese.
I honestly, Chip, I hate to tell you, I think it's going to go 0-10 on Oscar night.
Wow.
Well, that...
It's consistent.
Well, there you go.
To me, its best chances in adapted screenplay, would be for Steve Zaleon, who wrote like Schindler's List. Even he already has an Oscar, but I think that might be where they choose to reward Little Women and Greta Gerwig. So I think that's what's going to happen. I think it's going to go 0-10, which it happens to movies sometimes.
Moving on to actor in a supporting role, finally we get to see Tom Hanks, A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood, Anthony Hopkins, The Two Popes, Al Pacino in The Irishman versus Joe Pesci in The Irishman, and Brad Pitt in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. Does the Al Pacino, Joe Pesci split the vote and no Irishman get this award, Dane?
Yes, that's what happens.
Got to be the same as The Favor last year, right?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So who does get the award, Dane?
It's this is Brad Pitt's to lose. Okay. Again, he's sweeping all the awards. He has never won an Oscar for his acting. He has a producing one for 12 Years a Slave, but this would be his first, and I think it's well deserved. I think he was great as Cliff Booth in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Kyle, what do you think?
Agreed. Brad Pitt seems to be winning everything.
Wow.
I would assume he's going to win again. I mean, we haven't talked about The Two Popes, and I think Hopkins and Price do a fantastic job in that film, but I don't think they really have any realistic shot of winning the awards. Hanks is good, but it's not his best work. And like I said, I love Pacino as my favorite character in The Irishman, but those guys are going to split votes, and it's pretty much Brad Pitt's category.
Chip, what do you think?
I'm going Brad Pitt.
Good.
Yeah. Nice. He'll give a good speech. That's all we know.
Right.
Well, when he wins, he's going to give a fantastic speech.
Yeah.
Because Dane's right.
He's
done some amazing work on the producing side the past decade. He's produced a lot of films about diversity and telling a lot of different types of stories. And people have started to take notice of where he puts his money and his time. So it's good to reward a guy like that.
Nice. Moving on to visual effects, we get to a movie that I saw in 2019. My favorite movie of 2019, Avengers Endgame, is on the visual effects list, along with The Irishman, The Lion King, not Aladdin, mind you, but The Lion King somehow makes it into visual effects. 1917, and another movie that I saw, Star Wars, The Rise of Skywalker, is on the visual effects list. I love the visual effects category. Kyle, what do you think? Where do you go for visual effects these days?
Oh, I don't have. I mean, I'll defer to Dane and then I'll go from there.
I've heard this Avengers guy hasn't won yet and he's done like a lot of Marvel movies. And so this, I don't know. It's not going to happen because almost always when you have a best picture contender in visual effects, the people usually tend to pick that because they're like, that's just getting wrapped up in all their other votes, you know, for that they're going for a best picture contender. And there's actually two this year.
Mm-hmm.
So I think maybe like 1917 would get it.
I would think that is the one that has the most buzz on what they were doing with the visual effects. That single shot mentality of this film is what is everybody is talking about. So I agree that it's probably going to be 1917. Chip, do you have an opinion?
I think 1917. Although, you know, Avengers Endgame certainly could get, I don't know. You can't argue they didn't do a great job there. They did a fantastic job. So who knows?
They did such a great job on visual effects that you didn't even notice the visual effects. It was just the ride of the movie. And I called it my favorite of 2019. Kyle, have you come up with an answer yet?
I hope Avengers Endgame wins because it's the only love it's going to get. The Robert Downey Jr. Best Actor train stalled quickly after that campaign started.
Sure.
I really hope Lion King doesn't win. That will be a travesty.
We can cross our fingers for Doolittle. We never know.
God, the reviews are so bad for that.
I've heard really bad reviews for Doolittle, and that's on the 2020 list anyway, Chip, right? Because that was not released before that, the end of the year.
Best accent, 2020. Robert Downey Jr.
People are disrespecting it so hard. They are telling people what the ending is and spoiling it. Do you all want to know? Do you want to know what happens at the end?
Well, it sounds like something.
No, you don't want to know? Has to do with dragons and enemas. That's all you need to know. The one thing I'm mad about with the VFX category is that I went out of my way to watch Alita Battle Angel the week before these nominations came out, thinking it was going to get nominated, and it didn't. But it was still a fun movie, so I'm not that mad at myself.
I've heard really good things about that movie. It was not one of those movies that made a lot of money, but I've heard good things from people who have seen it. Moving on to adapted screenplay, we've got The Irishman, Jojo Rabbit, Joker, Little Women, and The Two Popes. What do you think, Dane?
Ooh, boy. So this is where The Irishman could win its Oscar, but I really do think it's going to go to Greta Gerwig for Little Women.
Interesting. Kyle, what do you think?
Agreed. I would not be surprised if this was one of those categories where something like The Two Popes got a dub just out of nowhere, and you were like, oh, crap. Didn't see that coming, but it's a really interesting.
Totally possible.
So yeah.
Neither one of you said Joker. Isn't the screenplay for the Joker one of those stories that could really be special, even though it's divisive and people think one way or the other about it?
Nah.
No. I should watch more movies. That's what this comes down to.
I mean, you're not entirely wrong, Steve, because it got 11 nominations. It got the most nominations of any film out there. So it's got enough love to at least show up in the top five for all these. So who's to say it can't win a few awards?
I would have put Cats in over Joker.
Why was it Cats in for visual effect? Why?
I don't know, because they had to go back and fix them.
Version 1.0 or 2.0.
I still haven't seen Cats, and I'm kind of ashamed of them.
Chip tried to get me to go to see it on a Friday before the second version shipped, and he wanted to go see how bad it was. And I was like, no, I'm not intentionally going to watch a bad movie. And then he said,
that's your whole existence.
What is that all about? Intentionally. Somebody I know watches Riff Tracks. Somebody I know watches Mystery Science Theater 3000. Where do you think they get their films?
Where do you get off, Steve?
I am so ready to give Riff Tracks $4 for the version of Cats that has the boys making fun of it. I am so ready for that. Chip, what do you think? What's your top adapted screenplay?
Oh, great. The Irishman. I'm going there.
Okay. It makes sense. I buy that. Nothing for Jojo Rabbit. There was nothing. The specialness of the screenplay for Jojo Rabbit didn't catch you, Chip.
Well, Jojo Rabbit is an interesting film. Yes, there's quirky fun to it, but you know, it's a comedy, Steve, and comedies don't win.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Moving on to original screenplay then. One of Chip's least favorite movies of 2019, Knives Out, is on the top of the list.
It's not a least favorite.
Go to the tape.
I didn't think it was as good. I had very high expectations for it, and it was just kind of mediocre to me.
I didn't say least favorite.
All right. The rest of the list is Marriage Story 1917, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, and Parasite. So, Chip, is Knives Out your best original screenplay?
No, I'll do Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
All right. Kyle, what do you think?
I love Knives Out. I will not hate on Knives Out. It's already been announced that Benoit Blanc will be in a sequel where he pursues some other case in a different place, probably with a different accent. Who knows? I thought it was brilliant. Who else could make an analogy about a donut hole seem relevant and not completely hokey? Ryan Johnson, I think, did a really good job with that. It's probably going to be Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, but I'm all team Parasite anywhere and everywhere. So I would love to see Parasite win because I think Bong Joon-ho is a really intelligent filmmaker.
Let me just throw this out there about Parasite. How quickly will they remake this film as an English-speaking type of film? Because this really was a great story.
There's already a TV show that's been greenlit, I think, on HBO, okay. A miniseries.
Okay.
Dane, what is your opinion on original screenplay?
Oh, it's going to be so very broken record-y to say this, but Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, which would be Quentin Tarantino's, I believe, third Oscar for Best Original Screenplay, that might be where they choose to reward him because I don't think he has much of a chance at Best Director.
Okay.
And if he doesn't wind up winning for his producing for Best Picture, then this could be where people say, you know what, it's Quentin Tarantino's script. We love his scripts. And there it goes. I think 1917 is just getting nominated is the reward for that and shows how much love there was for it. Because, I mean, as far as scripts go, that's probably just all typing actions and shots and not dialogue, which is what wins the original screenplay. Dialogue wins that. Mm-hmm. So, but I too liked Knives Out, Kyle. I'll defend that. My personal favorite is also Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, and then I'd go Marriage Story.
Are there any other parts of the Oscar ceremony that we need to talk about? Do we need to talk about animated short films? Kyle, did you see all the shorts this year?
I haven't seen the shorts. I've seen all the feature films, but not the shorts.
Are there any other categories that we think are important that we haven't discussed over and over again, the same four films, basically?
The features are fascinating because going into the Globes, everyone thought the establishment feature films were going to be the ones that take it. Toy Story 4, Frozen 2, all of those. And then out of nowhere, Missing Link wins Best Animated Film.
Do you have any idea why? Is that a good movie?
It is, and my understanding is the way it was made is really unique.
That was a surprise.
How it's animated.
That was the winner on the animated feature film category.
Well, and there are some more, let's say, art house types in. I Lost My Body is my favorite of that group. It's phenomenal.
Yeah. People were saying if that won, that would be just like, that would like tear the roof off the place, which you would never think would happen for the animated feature category.
Uh-huh. And it's a French film, right? It's not one of the big budget films from Disney, right? So and Missing Link already started it by winning that major award. So we'll see. Klaus is a really good adaptation on the Santa Claus kind of myth, and it's pretty enjoyable on Netflix. So that was cool to see that nominated. So I'm excited to see what happens in this category this year.
Frozen 2 got snubbed. Which That's means, beautiful. Though, that Team Disney isn't going to split votes between Toy Story 4 and Frozen 2.
Okay.
So that may just open the door for an easier win for Toy Story 4.
Yep. So. Abominable is probably like my most underrated favorite animated film of the year, but it didn't get nominated, unfortunately. It got nominated for a Globe, but not for this.
Anything on original song? Toy Story 4 is in there, along with Rocket Man, Breakthrough, Frozen 2, and Harriet.
Dan, you got to think Rocket Man, that Taron's going to win this, right? Because he didn't get an acting nom.
Like that
seems like it's.
Is he like in on the song? Was he? Yeah, he's. On that?
Did he write it? I don't know if he wrote it.
So I think this is where Rocket Man wins, and I think it's because Elton John and Bernie Taupin, they had never won a major award together until they won the Golden Globe. Mm-hmm. So now, this category is just atrocious.
Yeah.
I did want to mention that Diane Warren is nominated for the 11th time, and she's never won. She started with Nothing's Gonna Stop Us Now. I think that's Starship from Mannequin back in 1988. Yeah. She also, like, a lot of people don't know this, she wrote Don't Want to Miss a Thing, the Aerosmith song from Armageddon that was nominated. She's written a lot of stuff.
Best movie of the year.
Like songs you would know, Because You Love Me by Celine Dion, for movies and 11 nominations. She's going to go 0 for 11 because she's not going to win here.
No. Well, and I think given last year's success for Bohemian Rhapsody, which is just triggers me beyond all.
You're still bothered by that?
I listened to an NPR segment last week where they talked about how Hollywood reacts to the Chinese markets. And I learned Bohemian Rhapsody, like many others, was watered down and wouldn't show its LGBT side because they wanted to appeal to Chinese markets, and you can't show those things in Chinese markets, which makes me hate the film even more than I already do. So I think this is where Rocketman wins, because I think Rocketman, like a lot of other folks, is better than Bohemian Rhapsody and has nowhere near the love Bohemian Rhapsody got from the Academy.
I will agree with that. Rocketman was far better.
Yeah.
Well, Bohemian Rhapsody's got 4 Oscars, Chip, so shut it.
I know.
Elton John is still alive. That's the difference.
Kyle is still on a rant on Bohemian Rhapsody. I made a joke at Star Wars Celebration about Bohemian Rhapsody, just thinking of your fervor in this. And
I'm not alone. Not alone on this.
Not a part of the Academy either. It won 4 Oscars, sir.
Oh my goodness! All right, I'm with
it. It won for editing. King Kyle. Are you kidding me?
That's the worst award ever.
So there's no host for the Oscars again this year. Did that work out okay last year when there was no host and everybody just came up, gave their award, and walked away?
Yeah, I liked it.
I think it was just fine. Now we don't have Ricky Gervais. Well,
you take a risk when you have a host. You absolutely take a risk when you have a host.
Mm-hmm.
So I totally understand why this is the new process.
I don't disagree with you. I think Ricky Gervais did a great job at the Golden Globes, but he was not without controversy. He had things to say and he said them, and people were sometimes offended by some of the words that he chose to use. So what else do we need to talk about? Are there more snubs? Have we gotten to all of the J-Lo love that we need?
I think the final thing that I wanted to mention is when we were talking about streaks, like Diane Warren going 0 for 11, Thomas Newman, the composer, this is his 15th nomination, and he has never won a single time. He's done some great work. The first time he was nominated was for Shawshank Redemption, 1994.
Okay.
He has worked with like all of the heavy hitters like Spielberg. Like I know he did the Bridge of Spies, for example. He has done the score for 1917, which is incredible.
He's going to win.
He should win. But there have been 2 major score awards given out, and they both went to a young woman who composed the score for Joker. She won the Golden Globe and she won the Critics' Choice. So I'm blown away because so much of the experience of 1917 is because of that score.
What is interesting is I know who Thomas Newman is. And I purposely, he's got a very interesting strategy when he takes on movies. Always truly, he's incredibly talented. And yes. So I have, I think, 2 or 3 in my collection of music, 2 or 3 of his scores.
Hmm. So, no love for Eddie Murphy for Dolomite Is My Name. That's kind of surprising. Eddie Murphy's, his star is certainly on the rise, I think.
It was that 5th spot that was up between Jonathan Pryce, him, Taron, and it ended up being Jonathan Pryce.
That young man has talent, though. Watch out for his career with great interest.
I think, with Eddie Murphy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He keeps going places.
Yeah, I think
he was great. Dolomite was a fantastic film. He was great in the movie.
He's not going to play an ass his whole life.
That movie was so funny, though. I liked it.
Yeah, I really enjoyed
it. There's my Shrek.
Yeah, we got it, Chip.
I did my best.
He made a great joke in his SNL monologue back in the day when he said that who would have thought that he'd be the one still acting and Cosby would be in jail. He never saw that coming. Thought it'd be the other way around. Right.
And Taron Egerton for Rocket Man, that's a snub right there.
It's a snub in terms of like I'm sad he didn't get nominated, but am I surprised? No.
Okay. And Awkwafina, we've already talked about. She really should be getting some more awards. She's got a big year in front of her in 2020, I think. We've got Willem Dafoe in The Lighthouse. Nothing from The Lighthouse on any category, right?
Cinematography.
They got one. They got cinematography, which is a big deal for that.
Okay.
That's awesome. Sure. Yeah, these are all a bunch of long shots, right? I think Willem Dafoe is poetic in that film, in The Lighthouse. I know, Dane, you're going to see it pretty soon here.
Long shot, since you mentioned it. Emma Thompson snubbed. No, I'm just kidding. It's fine. She got a Golden Globe nomination, which is enough for that. Long shot was the Seth Rogen.
Right. Seth Rogen is not name? On this list.
Charlize?
Charlize was in long shot.
Right.
Which I didn't mind.
And Charlize got an Oscar because they were thinking of her performance in Long Shot when they nominated her for Bombshell.
There we go. Yeah. I mean, I listed out some others that I thought were really good performances that just didn't get the campaigning that maybe they were looking for. Jonathan Majors from Last Black Man in San Francisco for Best Supporting Actor from the art house film snob type crowd. Love it. It's obviously not a well viewed film of the year, but I think he was fantastic. Somebody from Parasite should have gotten a nomination. Probably Kang Ho Song, the lead actor, but
I'm not trying to sound like a jerk when I say this. People don't know the actors' names for that movie.
Right.
Oh, 100%.
They would have had to do research to look that up.
Sure.
Yep.
But Fred Durst for directing, you know that name. Snub of the century. Snub of the century.
Yeah, who else could take a talented actor like Travolta and make him look like dog crap, you
know? Whoever directed Gotti.
That's
Battlefield Earth.
I mean, the big one, right, that was all over social media was Adam Sandler for Uncut Gems. Yeah. He threatened that he would make the worst movie of all time if he didn't get nominated, and it sounds like we're gonna get what we want.
And he retroactively has done that like three times.
Jack, yes. Jack and Jill.
Well, maybe Netflix can give him another
couple of million.
Nice contract.
Yeah.
What was everyone's thoughts?
He's got more vacations to go on to film a movie.
Quickly, what was everyone's thoughts on Uncut Gems? Who saw it? Dane, did you see it?
I still need to see it, but I've heard it's a 2-hour-long panic attack, so I'll just wait until I'm in that mood, I guess, to watch that.
It is stress-inducing.
I am allergic to
In fact, I was all set to go see it, and I picked another film. I did that like three times in a row because Uncut Gems was playing right around the corner from me.
It's stressful. It's awesome. The Safdie bros have a talent and a knack for making the most simple things seem the most stressful. A door wouldn't open at one point in the film and there's people talking over each other and you just want to scream at the screen, and that takes talent. So give them credit there for pulling that off. I noted a few other ones. There are some people would say Brad Pitt's work in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood wasn't even his best performance of the year. Some people would say Ad Astra is his better performance in a lead role. I don't know if I would subscribe to that, but I think Ad Astra didn't get nearly the love that they should have. I think they got nominated for one award, right, Dane?
Yeah. Sound? Something
I think
in sound.
Yeah, I think it was mixing. So potentially Brad Pitt there. George MacKay in 1917, I think, did a really good job.
Yeah.
I could have seen him getting nominated that morning. Kelvin Harrison Jr. was in two indie films, Loose and Waves, and put in some really good performances. But again, didn't have the campaign, didn't have the budget behind him to kind of take him to that level. And then two female performances, leads, Elizabeth Moss in Her Smell and Jesse Buckley in Wild Rose. Two phenomenal performances from movies that just didn't really get a lot of acclaim out there. Critics loved it, but just not enough audiences saw it. But okay. The folks that are like best performances of the year, I would put those under that umbrella.
Dane, any other things that we need to discuss about the Oscars? The Oscarologist that you are?
No, we'll see you when 1917 has won Best Picture. No, I think it's the most likely. That's what I'd pick now. But this preferential ballot means you're not ranking the number one film only. You get to rank them. So it's not a plurality vote. So if the film that has everybody's number two votes, that could be your eventual winner. And Parasite could be that film unless it's conceived as divisive by enough members of the Academy. But that's why I think Once Upon a Time in Hollywood's downfall will be you have to be basically have no criticism against you to win Best Picture. I'm not sensing any of that for 1917 at all. So that's what leads me in that direction.
Skip any more topics about the Oscars that we need to cover before we call it a night?
Absolutely not. I'm proud that I actually saw most of these, and I may see them all before it actually airs. So I'm trying my best to be Kyle.
So Kyle, I'll go into isolation for a week for you, Chip. I'll help you out.
Oh, you could just go and watch movies with me. That's like isolation.
Just watch TV shows for a while.
Jay and Silent Bob Reboot is coming out on streaming services tomorrow, so you can go watch that with me.
Oh, that's right. By the way, it's not Oscar related, but I saw Bad Boys for Life the other day, and it's really good.
Really?
Started off 2020 with a bang.
Oh, there you go. That's a surprisingly good review, even though Will Smith is in and it's not Aladdin. That's all right.
Nope. It's the sequel none of us thought we needed, but we deserved.
So where can our listeners find more about all of the stuff that you're putting out there? Kyle, you've still got your blog and you're starting up this podcast. Where can we find more about you?
Yep. So the blog is kyleahickman.blogspot.com. The best films of the year is there. Usually do a halfway point post as well. But if you're looking for more consistent content, follow me on Twitter at Kyle_A_Hickman, and the podcast will be hitting here hopefully in the next couple of weeks. Nice. With episodes every 2 weeks. I'm not going to tell you the name, not going to tell you the concept quite yet, but just know we're going to deep dive in the world of film.
Awesome. Dane, where can our listeners find more from you?
cf3pod.com is Cult Fans Films and Finds web address. You can also subscribe to just search CF3 Podcast on any of the traditional podcast apps. We're on them. Also, facebook.com/CF3Pod, and like us there and interact.
And too much scrolling, listeners, listen to Dane's podcast. He comes on here and he's the Oscarologist, and he goes into film snob mode like a lot of us do, but he loves bad cult like films.
I love them.
Fun. It's a fun podcast.
It's a great podcast full of so many great guests. I listen so carefully every week just to make sure you're not flaming me this week.
We haven't flamed you in a while, but that's that's reason enough for TMS listeners to tune in, I think.
Hashtag FCS.
There you go. Just keep going. Just keep going after.
Where can our listeners find more from you?
Well, they can do it at the Too Much Scrolling Facebook page or the Twitter page, Steve.
Well, yeah, except for the Twitter page is the one that I drive and you drive the Facebook page. So your stuff's on the Facebook page. This has been great, guys. I love having these conversations. You guys are so smart. You've seen all these movies. We're going to do an anti-Oscars. We should do the Razzies, all the movies that I've seen for 2019. We should do a special episode and figure out all of those. Thank you again for all this information. We can look forward to the Oscars, and we'll see who is right in all of these anticipated awards this year. For Too Much Scrolling, if you need more information, give us a call or a text. Our phone number is 805-410-4TMS. You can go to our website, toomuchscrolling.com. We have a new show every Tuesday featuring the movie of the week and a book of the week. If you have questions, send us an email, toomuchscrolling@gmail.com. We're on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook. We're on iTunes and Stitcher and TuneIn Radio. And you can always ask your smart speaker to play the latest episode of Too Much Scrolling. I want to thank you again for listening to Too Much Scrolling. I'm Steve Fodor.
I'm Chip Hassenflor.
See you in the future.